You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The British Crown Colony of Hong Kong is a very crowded city with one of the highest population densities in the world. It's quite easy to get separated from your companions when walking the streets and lose your way. I once saw how a busload of Japanese tourists coped with this problem in Hong Kong. The leader of the group left the bus first and held up a large flag on a tall pole. The rest of the tourists piled out and lined up in a row behind him. When everyone was ready, the tour leader blew a whistle, held up his flag, marched off, and everyone else followed. Following the leader's flag makes sense if you want to get where you're going. It needs to be said that there are a lot of people in this world who try to make their way through the crowded streets and sidewalks of life, but who end up lost, not knowing where they are going. They have nothing and no one to follow except the allure of the moment, the press of the crowd, the fading attractions of this world, and their own inclinations. These are the only flags they have to follow, and often the only ones they have ever heard about. There is no question but that we are all on a pilgrimage through life, which generally concludes more quickly than most people would like. You are born, you live your life, and then you die. And without knowing where you are headed in life, without a real flag to follow, what hope for life will you have? Certainly none at all if you know only the inadequate power of your own strength of body, mind, and spirit. Certainly none at all if your only purpose for life lies in accumulating things and achieving status, neither of which you will be able to take with you beyond the grave. Most people, down deep, where life's real values are, want their pilgrimage of life to mean something. Most people want a life filled with a high sense of purpose and with a confident faith and hope. However, there are so many voices and interests crying for your attention. There are so many flags fluttering in the winds of life. Which will you follow? And where will they lead you? St. Paul gives a direction and a warning about this very thing in his letter to the church in Philippi. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. To get right to the heart of it, God, the Lord and Creator of the universe, has a plan for you and me. He wants us to belong to Him. He wants us to know and abide by His own standard of perfection and holiness. God is totally opposed to any selfishness, any pride, any wrongdoing, and any sin. He speaks plainly and decisively in His Word, the Holy Scriptures, of the consequences of a life which does not measure up to His perfection and holiness. The end result of that kind of life is death, which none of us can ever escape. Not just physical death, but a death which consumes us all and does so eternally. It is a death which all people face, as the Bible says so pointedly, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But God loves you and me, His special creation. He wants you to know His promise of forgiveness and new life, which He freely extends to all people through His own Son, Jesus Christ. The great and good news from God is that He wants you and all people to have the eternal blessings of citizenship in His heavenly kingdom. God's kingdom is not restricted to those heavenly mansions to which the Bible refers, and which can sometimes seem so far away, unrelated to the demands and struggles of daily life. God's kingdom also refers to the transformed life of His people, placed right in the midst of this world. It's a life that happens when they have their eyes of faith fixed on God's promises revealed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God's kingdom and your citizenship in it was earned by the perfect life, sinless death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's very own Son. He was completely God, and yet He was also completely man in every way. As your God-man, Jesus took the aimlessness and the lostness of your life to the cross, along with all your sins and wrongs. He accepted the guilt and the punishment for your selfishness, your rejection of His lordship, and your neglect of His word and will for your life. Christ took the punishment for everything for you. And because of His sacrifice, God promises you a citizenship in heaven, even while you are still on earth. You have an eternal home, a spiritual purpose, a faith-guided direction, and a heavenly destination. And it is all based on God's very special promise of forgiveness and new life to you in Jesus Christ. Let no one tell you otherwise. It's really yours. And it's yours because God promises it to you. And He backed up that promise in the sinless death and triumphant resurrection of His Son. St. Peter was another apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ who understood well the depth and breadth of God's promises to all people. In his first epistle he writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That is your citizenship in the kingdom of God, which He has prepared for you in Jesus Christ. That citizenship, that belonging to God, is yours, as God's Spirit leads you in faith to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that citizenship remains yours when you follow Jesus in that same faith with love and gratitude for all His gifts of mercy, grace, and power." So it is that St. Paul reminds us, "Join with others in following my example, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." To put it in the thought of today's message, look to Jesus Christ, the one whom I am following, and follow Him yourself in faith as others are doing. Here is a flag for you to follow through life. Jesus will transform your life, and He is the flag who will lead you through all of the trials and troubles of the highways and byways of life. Faith in Christ is the eyes, to see Him as your flag to follow. Faith is the feet, by which you follow Him, and faith is the trust for your following through thick and thin. Faith in Christ to follow Him is what will make the difference in your life, even when that following takes you through some pretty tough and trying experiences. You can count on that happening to you at some time or another, as it generally does to most people. Now, let's think of our Hong Kong tourist again. You can well imagine the tempting sights and activities experienced while following the flag of the leader. A camera at fantastic savings, a suit of clothes made to order, gleaming gold jewelry and sparkling diamonds at an unbelievable price, the aroma of delicious food. These distractions can be so overwhelming that the flag of the tour leader is ignored and forgotten. That kind of thing can happen to God's people as well as you make your pilgrimage through life. St. Paul described the defeating and destroying power of following these distractions during your spiritual pilgrimage. "Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. You know the power of these temptations which beckon, for perhaps you yourself have followed them, or know of others who do. There are other flags towards which people turn and then follow. One might be the sin of selfishness, of letting the wishes and desires of the inner heart control your life, your thinking, and your loyalties. Life with God and the things of God mean very little, and to some mean nothing at all because of the idolatry of self which possesses their heart. People do reject the free offer and promise of God's forgiveness and new life in Jesus Christ. The flag they follow is of their own creation and suits their own purposes. What is its appeal? Could it be that the desire to make their own way and decide their own life makes citizenship in heaven seem like foolishness, nothing to be taken very seriously? That, of course, is the ultimate idolatry of life, stubbornly rejecting God's way and rebelliously going your own way. If that has happened to you, friend, maybe it's time to ask yourself the question, if I keep on following this flag which I have chosen for myself, where will I end up? Where will it take me when life is over? It may be that God is speaking to you today through this message to point you to the one flag which alone has the power to guide and save you eternally, the Lord Jesus Christ. This problem just doesn't happen to other people. It can happen to Christians as well, that they lose sight of Jesus and follow other flags. When you and I have neglected to follow the word and will of our Lord and Savior Jesus, as it seems we do rather consistently every day, hasn't it been because our own will and desire seem to be more important than what God wanted? Whenever we take our eyes away from Jesus, that sinful self-centeredness and self-serving spirit has distracted us from our discipleship of faith, following the flag of our Lord Jesus Christ. The tour leader in Hong Kong might become angry and scold the tourist who wandered off. However, the wonderful news from Jesus Christ is that he rejoices when we come to him in repentant faith. According to his own promise, he forgives and receives with joy and love those who once again seek his presence. No matter how long, or how far, or how often you have followed the flag of your own choosing, the Lord Jesus still invites you in repentance and faith to follow him. And as you come to him in faith, his own power touches your hearts and lives to forgive and transform you and give you his new life and new strength for faithful following. A part of that new life and new strength lies in the Christian fellowship and friendship of those who have discovered the peace and joy which comes in following Jesus. Remember how St. Paul said, "Join with others in following my example, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." This program will never tell you to follow its speaker or a mere human. This program seeks only to tell you about the real and certain citizenship which you have in God's eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ. He is your own personal flag to follow, as the Spirit of God gives you the faith and strength to do so. The temptations to go your own way are many, and the distractions can be overpowering. However, as you keep your eyes of faith on Jesus and are encouraged by the example of others who are seeking to serve and follow him, God's Spirit will help you grow in your faith and in your following. And we can put you in touch with others who are following Jesus if you need help. Why did the tourists in Hong Kong follow that flag so trustingly? I had an experience in Tokyo during the trip to Hong Kong which explained the whole thing. I was mystified at first by the flags placed in containers at certain intersections on the Tokyo streets. Then I saw a Japanese schoolboy pick up one of those flags and step out into the street. Immediately, the cars and buses stopped, and the boy, along with other pedestrians, crossed the intersection safely. I understood then, later on, why the tourists were so willing to follow a flag. It was a symbol of safety for them, and it was a dependable escort through danger. That's the flag of Jesus Christ, which he calls you to follow. It's a flag made from the cross on which he died out of love for you to pay the penalty of your sins and purchase a place in heaven for you. On that cross, the power of sin to tempt and distract you was overcome. In that cross, you have God's own assurance of forgiveness, of new life, and of hope. Christ and his cross is your flag to follow, so you can make your way through life in faith and hope and know the heavenly reality of your citizenship in God's kingdom. There's a hymn which expresses this thought. I sought a flag to follow, a cause for which to stand. I sought a valiant leader who could my love command. I sought a stirring challenge, some noble work to do, to give my life fulfillment, my dreams to satisfy. God gave me this in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath his flag, I'll take my stand and follow him today. May God's Spirit lead you in faith and love to know his Son Jesus and follow him in that same faith and love today. Amen.